On tonight's Locked On Astros podcast, we are being joined once again by pitcher Kent Emanuel to talk about his surgery and to talk about the Red Sox. We're going to Fenway Park to face one of the best teams in baseball. Last time the Astros did pretty good. We'll see how the Astros do this time on the Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can I find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
Special guest, Kent Emanuel, where can you find you on Twitter?
At Kent Emanuel.
Alrighty, and I'm really surprised that we're talking about this before the show. I'm surprised that, 4 or 5 days after the surgery, you're willing to come on podcast. So we'll talk about this and more on today's Locked On Astros podcast. Guys, before we talk about this, let's talk a little bit about the Locked On MLB podcast. Sully does a great job with that show. It doesn't just focus about one team. It focuses on a whole bunch of different, all the different teams across baseball. So go check out the Locked On MLB podcast. And guys, don't forget to subscribe to the Locked On Astros podcast. We are on YouTube now, and we're trying to get up to 500 subscribers. Then from there, we'll get up to 1,000, and we'll go from there. And don't forget, you can listen to the Locked On Astros podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether that be Spotify, Odyssey, Google, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, just listen to the Locked On Astros podcast, your team, every day. So, Kent, let's go and talk about this. How are you doing after your surgery?
I'm all right. I'm just hanging out most of the day. Not a whole lot to do the first few weeks after surgery. So, a lot of free time.
So, we want to kind of go back to, you know, the day that it happened. I want to get to Maldonado in a second, but prior to the game, was there anything to you that hinted at maybe something was going on, or was it something that literally cropped up right as you took the mound?
No, it had been a while. It had been quite a while. I was kind of in the mode where it was just like, hey, if I can perform, you know, I'm just going to do it. So, you know, that game, I had seen my performance kind of start to go down. Like there was a week or so where warming up for the game, I couldn't command the ball well. It was just really bad warming up. But once I got in the game, there was just enough energy from being in the game where it didn't really affect me all that much. And then, just throwing program day to day, it wasn't very good. And then finally that game against the Dodgers, you know, I walked someone on 4 straight pitches and my velocity was down, and that was just the moment where I was like, all right, it's time.
So how important is it to have someone like Maldonado behind the plate, able to pick up on things that he sees, that he notices? Because I mean, I'm sure most major league catchers can pick up on it, but it seems like Maldonado's got a pretty good handle on the details of the game. How big is it to have him as your battery mate when something like this crops up?
Yeah, it's really nice to have someone like that. You know, I think just about all catchers in the major leagues are able to pick up on stuff like that, but I feel like Maldi is one that maybe values health a little bit more, in the sense that he has a quicker, you know, trigger to be like, all right, hey, let's pump the brakes here. Whereas, you know, maybe some other catchers might let the pitcher throw a little more. Cause, you know, and from our perspective, we don't want to come out of the game, you know, even if you're not feeling that good. Most of the time it's like, all right, you know, I came in, there was 2 outs. It's like, all right, I just need 1 out. Like, that's it. I can do this. Right. So who knows how long I would have stayed out there if he hadn't done that.
Yeah. So I know he said that you're throwing balls, and that's something that you don't normally do. So in that situation, it's like he said, it's good to know that your catcher knows who you are. So when you went to the doctors, what were the doctors saying? Were they saying that you probably had to have the Tommy John surgery, or were they saying that maybe you could have gone this alternative route that Rich Hill went.
Yeah. They both doctors said the repair was certainly a good option and is what they recommended. You know, like I said, this was something that happened a long time ago. This was in the beginning of 2020. And I did the injection route first, and that was certainly a factor, but it's tough. It's tough to, you know, these things are never obvious, especially if you've already had a Tommy John. It makes reading the MRI really difficult. So, you know, it's a lot of it is based on like the clinical evaluation. Like, how do you feel pitching? Are you confident moving forward? You know, does it hurt? This, that, and the other. And I think me going through the injection route last year already, and that, you know, it did succeed in the sense I got to play again, but it just wasn't holding up. So I think that was certainly a factor too, where we knew that it was probably time for some type of surgery.
So Johnny Munoz, one of our faithful followers, asks, he says, that you were actually talking about being overworked in college and that's why you got hurt. Did you see Arkansas just pitch basically, you know, 170 pitches in 3 days? And do you wish maybe, you know, one day college baseball puts a limit on the pitch count for the pitchers? Do you think that is kind of a contributing factor to maybe what you've gone through or maybe what you see other pitchers go through? Or is it really more of an individual thing, you know, from person to person, it's different?
Yeah, there's just not enough known to be able to make that distinction. You know, you see guys that have thrown more than that and been fine. You've seen guys who hardly have thrown at all and not been fine. It's just kind of one of those inherent risks with pitching. You know, you're trying to throw the ball as hard as you can, and the harder you start to throw it, the more stress you're going to put on your arm.
All right. So what did the doctor say after the surgery? How long of a recovery are you looking at?
The time frame we keep getting is 8 to 9 months, but this is kind of a newer procedure, especially on guys who have had Tommy John in the past. Because of that, it's going to be kind of just see how it goes type situation. You know, I think Rich Hill did his in under 8 months, but, you know, so it's tough to say. But doctor said after surgery, things went well. He was, you know, he said all the tissue I had and the bone I had was in good shape. It was just a matter of kind of reattaching it to the bone. So that's a good sign. Usually the quality of the tissue is the number one factor when it comes to determining if it's going to be successful in the future or not.
So, you know, so with this type of surgery for you, when are you cleared to actually start throwing a baseball? Is that several months down the road? Is, you know what I'm saying? Is that weeks?
Yeah.
What is your time frame for getting the ball in your hand and throwing?
Kind of similar to the overhaul rehab, where it's going to be kind of just see how it goes. And I got to just check off these certain boxes before we get to that point. If all goes well, I think it's going to be maybe just before the 4 month mark. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'd have to double check, but yeah, we're looking at a few months. And then, you know, the thing about the repair, what makes it probably the number one thing that makes it different than Tommy John is it's just reattaching the ligament you already have with a little bit of biotape to augment it. Right. Instead of taking a graft and placing it in your elbow. The reason Tommy John takes so much longer is you put this new tissue in your elbow and your body has to turn that tissue from whatever it was into ligament. So most of the time it's tendon, or in my case, yeah, it was my gracilis out of my hamstring. So it gets put in there and your body has to turn that into ligament. Then you got to keep, you know, building it up to get ready. This surgery, you don't have to do that. So it's already ligament because it's already in there. It's just had to reattach. So that's why it should take a significantly less amount of time to get back.
Well, hey, if this surgery takes, and you know, they say after Tommy John, some guys throw harder. Maybe this one you can add like a slurve or add like a specialty pitch in there, right?
Yeah, that'd be cool. But to be clear, because getting Tommy John or repair, you don't throw hard. That's not a thing. That's not a thing. That's a myth. You want to avoid surgery. I hate that that like has kind of found a its way into into people's thinking, because you know, you want to stress, you want to be healthy. So all the young kids out there, you don't want a surgery. You know, it's velocities average, I think, a little bit over 1 mile an hour less when usually when guys come back from Tommy John. So so yeah, don't get surgery, all you out there. Try and be healthy.
No, yeah, I've heard a lot of young baseball players. I knew a catcher in high school years ago. Won't say any names or even where he attended high school, but basically, I don't know how they did it, but the word on the street was they kind of strong armed a doctor into giving their son Tommy John because they were told that it would make him throw harder, and this kid didn't necessarily need it, and he got it, and needless to say, he never played a single day of Division I baseball. He got a lot of offers, but he never made it. And it was to that kid's detriment. It was, you know, those kind of parents that kind of, you know, ruin amateur sports. Right. But it's good that you have a good head on your shoulders about it. I know, I mean, you were coming in, you had a lot to prove this season. And I think you maximized your time. And you did really well.
All right, so let's go and take a second and talk about Credit Karma.
Okay, Credit Karma. Okay, here's the deal. Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions. Now they want to help you even more. With Credit Karma Money Spend Account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're going and you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. Why? Go with Credit Karma Money. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can actually win cash reimbursements for making purchases. That's insane. When you use Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Hey, I can even get a new computer with that. Just pay with your debit card. And if you win, you'll be notified on the spot with your Credit Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has already given away $3 million, not billion, but $3 million, Dr. Evil, and the Instant Karma for over 50,000 Credit Karma members and counting. So right now, only for June 8th through June 30th, when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll be automatically entered to win $1 million. That's right. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. I think I'm going to do this tonight. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusion and terms apply. See rules and banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
All right. Sorry for this, Kent, but when a piece of tape won't fix what's ailing you, you might have to go to Rock Auto to fix your car. So tell us a little bit about Rock Auto.
So here's the thing, Kent. I know that you have a vehicle where you got to get to and from PT, or, you know, you have to go to and from the field. So if you need a brake pad, or if you need a windshield wiper or a tail lamp, go to creditkarma.com. They're a family owned business. They've been around 20 years. It's an easily navigable website. I mean, whether you're rocking the minivan and you need carpet, whether you're rocking the Maserati and you need a new steering wheel grip, go to go to rockauto.com. I'm sure if you have Credit Karma, you use Rock Auto. So here you go. Rockauto.com as a catalog, it's unique. And what's great is they don't charge different prices for you and me, normal guys, you know, like stores charge different price tiers for professional mechanics. So go to creditkarma.com, use a promo code, go there and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. So, you know, let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
I'm still, I'm just floored at the procedure you had. I mean, just I know it's more than just a piece of tape and it becomes part of your body. And it's just amazing how this works. So now that your season's officially over, what are your takeaways from your rookie season?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I haven't really given that a whole lot of thought. You know, it's it I try to treat it just like any other season. You know, I think I've said it from the get-go. I've always thought of myself as a major league player, so this season was just another season. So just trying to, you know, it was good to finally get out there and kind of compete at that level and you know, kind of show what I can do. Hopefully, you know, once 2022 starts, I can get right back out there and not miss a beat.
So what would you say, you know, Mr. Munoz says that you should work on getting the naming rights on this new procedure and, you know, see if you can get it named the Kent Emanuel. But anyways, I digress. But so like to athletes out there, maybe we have young athletes listening, young baseball players. What does something like this do for you as a person? Because I know baseballs can be one of the most soul crushing sports out there. It has the ability to raise you up. It has the ability to tear you down right in a moment's notice. What would you tell young athletes if they're going through injuries and they're going through maybe a discouraging season? What have you learned from this that you could help others?
Yeah, I mean, injuries suck. There's no way around it. You know, you want to just do everything you can to remain healthy. And, you know, my advice would be like, just try not to worry about it too much. You know, if you get hurt, that's all right. You can get better. And you can get back out there. So, you know, just try not to get too down.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so I know that were there days that maybe possibly, I know that the Astros didn't seem to use you a lot out of bullpen. Were there days that you told them that your arm wasn't feeling right or you maybe couldn't pitch that day?
Or no. You know, I don't think I had built up. I don't know. That's tough to say. The usage stuff is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
No, there were a couple days where I was down because I was like, hey, my arm is sore, but it was nothing crazy, nothing out of the ordinary. Like I had a back to back, and I was like, hey, I can't get in there today. But that's commonplace for, you know, it wasn't anything that was extraordinary. So, yeah, as far as the usage, that's a question for someone else.
All right. And it looks like you got some lightning going on back there. It's pretty good.
Here in Birmingham, Alabama.
I didn't know if it was lightning or you know, police lights. I was going to ask you what was going down behind you.
No, it's storming here. It's storming.
Okay, good.
When the lights go out, you'll know why.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, I know that you didn't get an opportunity to start after the last time we spoke, but maybe it was probably better that you didn't get the opportunity. But you did – whatever role you were put in, you did a good job. So I think that I think next year when you're healthy coming out of 2022, whether that be as a reliever or a starter, I think we're looking forward to some good things because you showed some great things in your first debut. So going on road trips with the Astros, how is it different from going on road trips with the minor leaguers?
Oh, I mean, it's night and day. Yeah. On one hand, you have a scenario where everything, you know, you're treated great. And when you're in the minor leagues, you're treated like crap. That's simple as that. Like, it shouldn't be the way it is. It shouldn't be as different as it is, but that's the way it is. You know, I would say the number one thing with travel that makes it like that makes the biggest difference is sleep. You get to have a relatively normal sleep schedule as opposed to, you know, if you're in AAA, you're flying commercial first flight in the morning after a night game and you play that night, you know, you have 4 a.m. wake up calls. It's an absolute nightmare. Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing, but I mean, the hotels are nicer, the food's nicer, everything's better.
So we had several people on the chat that wanted to know who has the best hair on the team. I know you've got some nice flowing hair there. Who has the best hair on the Astros?
That's a good question. We have some good heads out there. You know, Lance is up there certainly. Has the long guys. I don't know. I Joe Smith would have kept growing his out. His hair was a little bit longer in camp, and then he cut it early in the When I called up, I remember it being short. What are you doing? Why do we do that? So, a lot of good heads.
No, that's awesome. Go ahead.
No, I think we're losing him a little bit. Maybe the storm's getting you. But did you, before the surgery, did you reach out? I don't know if you have any connections with Rich Hill, but did you reach out to him at all to talk about the surgery?
No, I didn't get to speak with him about it. I got to speak with a number of people though who had gotten it. My agent had a couple guys get the internal brace procedure done. However, it wasn't on top of a Tommy John. So, like I said, it's pretty new. So there was still some, I don't want to say unknowns, but not a whole lot of guys who have gone through it that I got to talk with. But there was enough information for me to feel comfortable that this was the right decision.
All right. So let's go and talk a little bit about the Red Sox series. Do you think the Red Sox are as good as they are on paper?
I mean, obviously they're about to play them. So I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place. Cause if I say they're not, and then the Astros don't do well, we look worse.
Yeah, I know.
Or if I say they are, and I don't want to hype them up. So I don't know. I think it'll be a good series. I think the Astros are going to take care of business though.
Well, I like the first game. Framber Valdez, he's come back from his injury. He looked really good. He's 1-0 going against Martin Perez. And, that's definitely a matchup that we're looking forward to. Odorizzi's struggled a lot. He's 0-3 right now, 7.16 going against Nathan Eovaldi, who's actually 7-2 with a 3.78 ERA. He's actually a local product. He's from the area. Actually pitched at a local community college, Allen Community College. And so those first two games, I like us in game one, game two. I'm not 100% on Odorizzi's just got to keep the ball in the ballpark. And then Zach Greinke, who's been masterful. I know last time when we talked about Zach Greinke, and you said he's kind of, you kind of vibe with the players how they vibe. Like if they're quiet and stuff, you didn't normally mess with them. But what is it like though, just being around him? Is he someone that you're always maybe have your ear, perked up a little bit because he might say something just genius? What's it like being around that guy?
Certainly. You have, this just with, he's been playing for what? In the big leagues for like 45 years now, right? So he's got to know something, right? He's doing something right. So yeah, certainly. And it was nice. Since we had last talked, me and him were able to have some conversations. I feel like he just maybe didn't know if I was going to be around more than a couple of days or not. Maybe that's what the deal was. But we got to talk a little bit more. But yeah, like I said, he's a reserved guy. But like you said, definitely worth listening to because you never know when he'll hit you with some knowledge that might stick.
So he wasn't betting on you sticking around. So speaking of betting, let's talk about betonline.ag real quick.
Right? That's right. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. And it's actually the only website I've ever used to bet on any sports online. During the Super Bowl, I actually won some cheddar. That was nice. Got me a couple meals or whatever. But baseball season is in full swing, and we are headed to Fenway Park. So maybe you bet the over-under on how many home runs Jordan's going to hit over the Green Monster because he's hitting oppo power 75% of the balls. And right now you've got the NBA semifinals going. You just had that joke of a boxing match that they had with exhibition. You can bet on pretty much anything. You can bet on reality TV shows, whatever, the sky's the limit. But before the next pitch at Fenway Park, go to Bet Online. Maybe bet the odds on Jose Altuve hitting another, leadoff home run. Sign up right now for bonuses and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as it is your chance to get in the game as teams prep for their playoff runs. Head to the website on your mobile device or sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. It's your sportsbook experts. Use the promo code Locked On when you do.
All right. So I know that you're trying to defy the odds and come back early at the start of the 2020 season. Let's talk a little bit about Framber Valdez. A lot of people said that he was probably going to miss the entire 2021 season, but now he came back and he's looking pretty good. What have you seen so far from him?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's nasty. There's really no other way to to describe it. You know, I remember Garrett Stubbs telling me a funny story about when he was pitching against El Paso, getting ready to come up this year. Nick Tanelu, you know, all his teammates there in El Paso were asking him, like, all right, what's Framber got? And he's like, it's a fastball. It's going to be hard, and I can't tell you what it's going to do. Sometimes it's super stank. Sometimes it moves in. He's like, just good luck up there. So, I mean, the guy's nasty. He's a physical specimen. So to see him come back early is not really, you know, if there was anyone that was going to break a finger and come back early, he'd probably be one of the top candidates for that.
So yeah. I'm not sure if you want to address this, but what do you think about MLB coming out and saying they're going to crack down on the foreign substances on the baseball?
I don't know. I'm curious to see how that's going to go and how they're, you know, going to go about, you know, seeing if guys are doing it and enforcing it and trying to do it fairly. I don't know. It's a tough situation. Obviously, it can give pitchers an advantage if they got some stick, but also you want them to be able to throw the ball where they're supposed to. Those balls are kind of cue balls out of their wrapper. So I don't know. It's tough for me to say how I would handle it if I was in charge. I'm not sure. It's above my pay grade. It's above my pay grade.
I hear you. Well, I like that. I like that as a standard answer. And so baseball to me created the infatuation with the home run ball. You know, they had the juice ball. They've had a lot of controversy when it comes to home runs. I think they turned a lot of blind eye when the steroid era hit, and it wasn't until grandstanding politicians got in where they really started to crack down and act like they were like the moral police. But it's like they created this buzz about the home run. And then when pitchers started striking out more, they're like, oh, well, hold on, we got to do something. It's like the pendulum swung back the other way. And I've actually seen off record comments where people have said, you know, I've spoken to major league players, and like you said, they like knowing that a guy throwing 98 is going to hit the ball close to the square and not square in the temple, because that's huge. That's a danger factor, you know? But I think at the end of the day, Major League Baseball is always behind on trying to fix things. Like, I think they wait too long to do it. And I just don't like a lot of the changes that I see going on in baseball. When you're a player and you hear about things like moving the mound back a whole foot or things like that, what goes through your mind as a pitcher when you start thinking about all the rule changes? Does it affect you, or do you just, I mean, you just have to go out there regardless, no matter what rule changes come out?
I mean, a little bit of, well, yeah, I mean, everyone that's playing wants to play regardless of, you know, I don't think there's any rule that's been so absolutely absurd that a player's like, all right, if this happens, I'm not playing anymore. Like, right. You still want to play. It's still a game. But I mean, as far as like some of these crazy ones, like the mound being moved back, or, you know, there's all kinds of crazy ones.
The runner on second in the extra inning.
Yeah. I mean, well, at least that one, there's some reasons for that. You know, the amount of times the game ends does go up, you know, the next inning. But anyways, like moving the mound back or something that would like drastically change the game, we don't really think about that all too much, because it just seems too, at least in my eyes, it seems too far-fetched for it to ever come to realization, because, you know, all of these rules, like these big ones, are going to have to be agreed upon. Like, the players are going to have to agree to it. So I don't know. It's interesting to see all these proposals.
All right, Johnny wants to know what's your favorite baseball that you've pitched with in your career that's fair to both the pitchers and the hitters. So I guess he means like maybe in college or little league or anything.
I got you. I like the big league balls, even though they certainly go the furthest. You know, they're the sharpest. They move, like when you're throwing them, you're going to be able to make those move the most. So I like those a lot. I'd have to say that college balls, when I was there, they still had the bigger seams, which was nice to be able to, you know, throw big, slow curveballs, I guess, or maybe control the ball. But I like the big league balls. I like being able to move it. And, you know, even though once a guy connects, you might have to watch it go a little further. It's a trade-off that I'll take.
All right. So what are the top five things that Ken Emanuel is going to do this for the rest of the year while you're recovering?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's an excellent question. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of Netflix in my future. Probably maybe some reading and some beach time or pool time. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I mean, obviously number one focus is going to be trying to get this arm as ready as I can before 2022. Hopefully with the rehab process, I'll get to spend, you know, I'll get to invest a little bit more time in my body. So hopefully entering next camp, I'll be in better shape in terms of conditioning and strength and what have you. This camp was probably the worst shape I've been in because I've played winter ball. So even though baseball wise, I was in a good place, but as far as my body was going in terms of workouts and conditioning, it was probably the worst I've been in the last few years. So I'll be excited to be ready to go 2022.
So basically more like a normal start is what you're saying, is what you'll have going into the next season.
I mean, from a workout perspective.
Yes. Right. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Because he'll still be recovering and trying to get all that going. So, you know how when you're in a hospital and they have all the smiley faces, how you feel, like your pain level. When you were pitching, where were you at when you were pitching? Like, what smiley face were you at?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I'm sure I'm not the only one too. Unfortunately, I'm sure there's a lot of pitchers in the big leagues that are in similar situations where you just kind of learn how to ignore it, really. And I think guys that have been through this process know that you gotta get good at focusing externally and not internally. You know, if pitchers were focused on how they felt, they'd be screwed. You gotta be able to say, hey, I want the ball to do this and go to this place. And if you can do it, you just do it. And so hard for me to answer that question.
Okay, so with all your recovery and everything you do, and I'm asking this from my perspective, maybe this is something people don't know, but at any point during the season, do you ever join back up with the team? Do you ever make it back to Minute Maid Park? Are you ever with the team at all when you're going through recovery, when you're injured like this? What is life like for you connected with the team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not really sure. The reason being there's still these COVID rules. So, you know, I would lean towards, I probably won't get any interaction. Unfortunately, I would like to. But you know, as it stands, you know, they made some rule changes because of, coronavirus. I know just being on like the 10-day IL, there's a lot more restrictive rules because they want to try and limit, you know, interactions amongst everyone really. So, I don't know. I hope so, but that's going to kind of be a wait and see type situation.
All right. We'll go ahead and do this one question, then we'll call it a show. But, I'm Heal wants to know, do you feel more comfortable in a rotation or the bullpen?
Oh, I like starting. I'd much rather be in a rotation. You know, I'm comfortable saying that. I guess I'll add that I would still much rather be in a big league bullpen than a minor league rotation, obviously. Right. So, priority one's just being on the team and contributing. But if it were up to me, I would love to be a starter. That's above my pay grade.
There you go.
Well, you know what's not above your pay grade? You're welcome on this show whenever you want to throughout the off season. We don't care about COVID rules. You're welcome to come here. We're social distancing, and we'll take care of you all off season and maybe during playoffs too. You're welcome to come on. We'll do some analysis and all that. So, thank you once again for joining, and hopefully your recovery is good, and we'll see you next year. And thank you, Brett. You got anything else to say?
No, yeah, just thanks for coming on. Thanks for answering the questions to our listeners, and just looking forward to another series with the Red Sox, going to Beantown and hitting a few home runs over the Green Monster, and maybe off of Pesky's pole, and going out with another series win. So Thanks from everybody. Kent, thanks for, you know, joining us. And like Eric said, you're welcome on anytime.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
And I'm going to go with a 2-1 series win versus Red Sox. I think they get one game out in Fenway. So the Red Sox. So
Stroh's all sweet. Right. Stroh's sweet.
Okay, there you go. There you go. There's the home.
I like it.
All righty, guys. So thank you for listening. Remember today on the Locked On Today podcast, how high is the Titans ceiling with Julio Jones? Why don't you listen to the Locked On Today podcast? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe to Locked On Astros podcast, your team every day. And we'll be back tomorrow to talk about tomorrow's game. Go Stros. Go Kent Emmanuel. Good luck with your recovery, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.